assume. Higher-level monsters in your dungeon may have a very small chance to absorb the traits, abilities, and/or properties of other creatures they consume. These new monsters can pass their powers onto their offspring, or be recreated by the dungeon. Quest update, The Power of Blood 1. Bring the blood of 5 powerful creatures to your dungeon to accelerate its evolution. Current count, 2 of 5. Despite the fact that Richter had dropped the blood in, he still cringed slightly. The searing pain he'd experienced when his mark of the adventurer had changed had not been fun. This time, thank Abrams and Whedon, was different. There was no pain. The symbiosis boon of your mark of the adventurer may now access the perk gained from the blood of the dark apparition, Siphon. You may now absorb residual energy from the bodies of enemies that you have killed. You must be in physical contact. This will add 10% of one of a creature's attributes to you. Effects last 1 day and cannot be ended early. Each creature consumed requires that 50 mana from your mana pool be devoted to maintaining these stats. This mana will not regenerate until the energy is released.
What? This was amazing! He hoped he didn't have to do something nasty like eat a slime monster or something to absorb the energy, but even if he did, it probably wouldn't be the worst thing he'd ever put in his mouth. The time limit wasn't as good as no time limit, but it was still awesome. An extra 5 points of strength or constitution was well worth decreasing his mana pool by 50 points in a fight. There had to be a downside, because this symbiosis boon was just too awesome. Then he read the next prompt, and there it is, he thought sourly. Know this, the symbiosis boon can only use one blood type at a time. In the future, these may be exchanged by physically touching the well of offering, but switching blood types will remove any active effects gained while using the old blood type. Which blood perk do you choose? Deadly Charisma, plus 2,500 relationship points with any sentient dead, undead, or living dead, plus 10% relationship points with any sentient dead, undead, or living dead. Siphon, add 10% of a slain creature's attributes to your own at a cost of 50 points of your mana pool. Still awesome, Richter thought, and the fact that he could switch by touching the Well of Offering was cool. In fact, it looked like he had already found a loophole in the fact that he had to wait a full day for his mana to return. He could just switch blood types and restore his magic pool if needed. With a faint smile on his face, he chose Siphon. A strange and tingling warmth permeated his entire body. "Are you done yet?" Sion asked. Richter looked at him and made some creepy eye contact.
"Oh, yeah."
Chapter 46, Day 143, Kuborn 33, 0 AOC. Richter handed out potions of clarity. Randolphus spoke up. "The dungeon is young, and so shouldn't be a significant danger to a group such as ours, at least at the beginning. That is still no reason not to take the danger seriously. I have known high-level adventurers to fall and never rise, even on the highest levels of a dungeon that they had spent years adventuring in. I also do not know if the loophole of being Richter's companions will allow for us to dungeon dive without repercussions. If the dungeon reacts negatively, it will attack our party with everything it has." Everyone nodded in understanding and acceptance. Richter took the lead and entered the portal. The room looked much the same as last time. Dark red columns still obscured their view, though there was plenty of space to pass between them. The same diffuse red glow came from in front of them, and occasional animal noises split the silence. There was an almost oppressive feel in the air. "Huh," Richter commented softly, looking around.
"What is it?"
Sion asked at the same volume. "The bodies of the 2 men I condemned. I thought we'd find their remains." Randolphus poked his head over Richter's shoulder and said,
"The dungeon is always hungry."
"Gah!" Richter shouted in his own mind. Randy was so friggin' quiet that he was barely able to keep the surprise shout inside. The Chaos Seed seriously considered enacting the bell around the neck protocol for the spy, but the bastard could probably travel silently, even wearing bells, with a vibrate enchantment. Vibrate enchantment. Suddenly Richter was distracted by the Mist Village's newest export idea. Nobody went to Brookstone for a massager. Sion elbowed him in the ribs when he saw his friend was staring off into space again. The Chaos Seed came back to himself and motioned for everyone to position themselves for battle. This was, of course, unnecessary, because they were all waiting on him. Still, he enjoyed making Special Forces hand gestures in combat situations. Everybody did. Tirad hefted his new high steel buckler with +2 defense and his high steel sword of sonic damage. Neither weapon was the best Richter could make, but they were still powerful. Bowden was working on a blade made specifically for the captain. He assured Richter that the final weapon would have requirements within Tirad's capabilities, and that it would be ready before the army left to battle the Lich. Yoshi stood beside him, and the Decamer Knight rounded out the tank rolls in the party. Sion stood with an arrow knocked, and Randolphus stealthed into the darkness. Hisako began casting a spell, light surrounding her hands. The illumination made Richter realize that the mist lights he had summoned last time were gone. Apparently the dungeon would consume anything left behind, he thought sourly. The Hearthmother finished her casting. A bowling ball-sized sphere of white light flew from her fingertips. It shot between two of the dark red columns. Once it passed them, the ball split into 3 copies of itself. One remained at the spot where it had multiplied, and the other 2 flew off in different directions. Each of those passed between a different set of columns. They split again, and again, and again. In the space of 30 seconds, the entire cavern was well lit by hanging orbs of white light. Without the gloom, the entire foreboding vibe of the dungeon faded away. Richter looked around for his chamberlain to see if his stealth had been broken, but either the man was hidden behind a pillar, or his skill was advanced enough that he could hide even in full light. Then the Chaos Seed looked at Hisako. The fact that he was impressed was written all over his face. The Lightmaster, who was most likely centuries old, just smirked and cocked her head as if to say, "I'm nice like that." With those preparations complete, Richter employed the same plan as last time. Alma flew into the air and began to scout. He reminded her again to be wary in case there were aerial predators. She sent back the mental equivalent of a sniff of disdain.
"And you should remember not to trip over your feet, Master," she thought to him.
Richter chuckled. He guessed he could be like a mother hen to her. The Chaos Seed pulled out his traveler's map and made it show a live feed of what Alma was seeing. Hisako leaned over the map as well. Once again, the Dragonling flew in concentric circles. This time, she started seeing monsters further from the red center of the room, and there was more than just one type. The Corantuskers still rooted around in the grass, but there was a second type of monster that slunk around as well. They were about 3 feet at the shoulder and had the build of greyhounds. Their fur was green in color. They were sleek creatures that picked up and placed their feet down carefully. They were moving slowly, but even from Alma's aerial view, they gave the impression of a coiled spring. Richter had no doubt these creatures could launch themselves forward at great speed. Their heads seemed overly large for their bodies, and a long tail whipped behind them, bending like a cat's. 3 thick claws curved downward on each paw. The 2 types of monsters seemed to more or less ignore one another. Alma did see a bit of a conflict when one of the porcine tuskers got too close to one of the new beasts. The dog monster snapped at it, and it looked like the jaws actually extended outside of the large head. The monster's incisors were 4 to 5 inches long, and the rest of its mouth was filled with sharp teeth. At this display of dominance, the tusker squealed in panic and ran back to the safety of the 4 others of its kind. The hound ignored it after that. Richter continued to watch and saw that while the tuskers normally seemed to cluster together, the new creatures were solitary and dotted the cavern. Strangely, there seemed to be baby pig monsters mixed in with the other tuskers this time.
Genneth Prowlers,
Hisako stated quietly upon seeing them in the map.
They have little in the way of natural armor, but are incredibly fast. Their necks and jaws can elongate slightly to ensure that they bite their prey. Their claws are also strong enough to score sprite armor.
Richter looked at her in concern. What about enhanced sprite armor? The question could also have been, what about my shit? The hearth mother just smiled at him. She had that same slightly insane look in her eye that Sion had when going into battle.
You will probably be fine.
Super helpful, he told her sarcastically. She nodded back happily, and Sion snickered from off to the side. Alma had finished her scouting of the cavern. Most of the monsters were still clustered in the center under the large red jewel. The problem was that there were about 50% more Tuskers than the last time, and about 30 of the Genneth Prowlers.
There are more monsters than I expected,
Randolphus said, phasing into view. The problem was, he phased in directly behind Richter. The Chaos Seed had to stifle yet another startled gasp. Giving away their position to the dungeon monsters with a ladylike shriek would not have been the best. Richter gritted his teeth instead.
Do not sneak up on me!
Randolphus looked back and answered in his most polished and arrogant voice.
You do realize that you just said that to a rogue, correct, my lord?
Richter rolled his eyes.
Why do you say there are too many monsters?
Not too many,
the spy corrected in his cultured voice.
Merely more than I expected. Your dungeon is only several days old, and we killed many monsters yesterday. Dungeons have amazing powers, but even they are limited in what they can create. Each day, the dungeon generates a finite amount of power called dungeon points. These are used to fuel everything that the dungeon does, including creating monsters.
So? Richter asked. It used dungeon points to make more monsters.
That is possible, Randolphus admitted. But I adventured in another young dungeon, barely 2 centuries in age, and I have read of many more.
200 years? That was young? Richter asked himself, but he didn't interrupt.
When I say that the dungeon uses its points for everything, I mean everything, my lord,
the Chamberlain continued.
Creating new rooms, spawning monsters, generating treasure to draw us in, growing minerals, and anything else it might do. Young dungeons typically cannot generate large volumes of monsters all at once. They focus on growth and leveling.
If a dungeon uses all its points to make monsters all of the time, then it's neglecting its own growth? Richter asked.
He was finally getting what Randy was trying to say.
If the dungeon points could be used to level the dungeon up, it would be a waste to stay at level 1 and just keep making weak monsters.
Yes, my lord. I recognize, however, that I have never been in a dungeon that utilized a deeper magic, let alone a higher energy. The amount of dungeon points it can create each day is quite high, so this could explain why it was able to regenerate so many monsters in a single day. There is another, simpler explanation. It might have created a lair.
It was quiet for a few moments.
I know this guy isn't going to make me ask what a fucking lair is, Richter thought.
His expression must have reflected his inner thoughts, because Randolphus soon added,
A lair is a room that greatly increases the breeding rate of the dungeon's monsters. It would explain why there are young Tuskers amidst the rest. Dungeon creatures mature at a rate dozens of times faster than their real-world counterparts. The dungeon can also accelerate their growth for much less energy than it takes to spawn a monster from thin air. The lust ability you told me of would also make this more likely.
Richter nodded. The Crypt Mistress Ikor had given a bonus to the dungeon, making lairs 10% more likely to develop. He hadn't known exactly what that meant at the time, but it made sense. It also increased the monster spawn rate by the same amount. There was another possible reason for the large number of monsters that Randy hadn't mentioned yet. Turning to Hisako, he asked, Could my life mastery or the quickening be at play here? The bonus he received from having claimed mastery of the life ley line increased the growth of the physical manifestation of his village by 30%. The quickening increased the yield of all resources by 25%. Hisako stopped to consider the question academically. Her mind quickly shifted to the potential dangers of a bloodstone dungeon boosted by celestial magic.
Her heart started beating rapidly as she considered it, but she willed herself to calm. Lord Richter was an agent of change. That had been clear almost from the beginning. Change could never be stopped completely, but it could be guided. As she formulated an answer, she resolved to pay close attention to both the dungeon and her ally. The accomplished leader let no evidence of her internal thoughts play across her face. She shook her head in response to Richter's question.
I do not believe the dungeon itself would be viewed as a resource. The quickening could very well affect the growth of resources inside of it, however. As far as the bonus from your life mastery, I cannot say. I know of no documented dungeons built upon a life place of power.
She did not sound too sure about either supposition, the Chaos Seed. It looked like Randy's lair idea was the best one they had. Still, though, Richter didn't get why it was important. Okay, what you're saying makes sense, but why should we care? You keep telling me that we want the dungeon to be stronger. More monsters sounds like a good way to accomplish that.
Because, Lord Richter, Hisako said with an excited gleam in her eyes, lairs always yield better treasure, and battling lair-spawned creatures imparts more experience than fighting regular dungeon monsters.
Ah, Richter said finally, catching what they were throwing. And I'm guessing lairs also have a stronger monster that you have to overcome to clear them out?
They do indeed, Randolphus answered, surprised that his liege knew that detail.
Richter finally smiled. So, a mini-boss in a dungeon and good loot besides. The gamer inside of him was doing a dance. There was still one thing that didn't make sense to him, though.
You keep saying that I need to grow the dungeon and make it stronger, Randy. Wouldn't wiping out a lair have the opposite effect?
The Chamberlain shook his head, and to Richter's satisfaction, he saw the man grimace slightly at the shortening of his name. It was the little things in life that made it worthwhile in the Chaos Seed's mind. The rogue answered with his customary cultured voice.
Dungeons thrive on battle, my lord. You have already seen that it is using a second monster type today. That is most likely because we killed the Tuskers yesterday. It will lose a small amount of energy when its creatures are killed, but it can gain most back by reabsorbing them. It also learns and grows by having us battle its monsters.
It was getting stronger by observing them? Richter wasn't 100% sure that he liked the sound of that. So the monsters will learn and adapt to our tactics?
Nothing quite so cerebral, my lord. Remember, while the dungeon is alive, it is not aware in the same way that we are. Also, the beasts are not capable of intelligent planning. They will not drive us into traps, for instance. It is possible that the dungeon will one day house creatures that are capable of tactics, but I do not believe we will have to fear that for some time to come. There is also another reason that I recommend we search for the lair. There are certain perks that come from conquering them.
All right, you've sold me, Richter acceded. Before we do anything else, though, we still need to kill the monsters in his first room, right? Both the Chamberlain and the Hearthmother nodded. Then let's get to it.
Richter decided their best course of action was to draw the creatures to them. Here, at least, they had the cavern wall at their back, limiting the directions from which the monsters could attack.
Buff up, everyone!
He summoned Alma back and psychically clued her in on the plan. Weak haste increased his movement and attack speed by +10%. Minor chitin carapace increased his natural armor by +4. The earth spell thickened his skin appreciably and made it appear glossy like a beetle's shell. Unfortunately, the physical change meant his other earth defense spell, weak bark skin, had no effect. He considered casting weak life armor, but the +1 defense wouldn't make too much of a difference. If they had been battling undead, he would have, as the defense increased to +3 versus death creatures. But in the dungeon, he had better uses for the mana. Taking a deep breath, Richter cast Summon Weak Saproling and Summon Minor Chokespore Arachnid. Ever since Hisako's warning about summoning too many creatures at once, he'd been hesitant about such spells. Both creatures remained easily under his control, however. Richter made eye contact with both, creating a weak psychic bond. The other magi in the party cast their own buffs. Hisako cast a mass earth magic buff that reduced their stamina consumption by 20%. With all of that done,
The clock was ticking until the buffs ran out. Richter cast one more spell, Akaton Evolution. Targeting the Saproling, he used chaos magic for the second time. Again, he was struck by how easily his mana filled the chaotic spell form. Undulating gray power shot towards the Saproling and was absorbed into its body. It disappeared, and for a moment, nothing happened.
"What was that?" Hisako spat.
Richter looked at her in surprise that only deepened when he saw her face. She looked afraid. "It was my chaos spell," Richter replied at a loss. How could she have such a negative reaction to something so beautiful? He looked around at the others in the party. Except for the Decamer Knight, they all looked discomforted as well.
"Didn't you think the light was beautiful?"
"It made me feel uncomfortable," Sion replied softly. "Just like when I was in the tunnels at the goblin encampment. The light from that thing underground."
His voice trailed off. Everyone else nodded to show they felt the same. Richter remembered that Sumiko had had a similar reaction when she witnessed him respawn once. He had apparently been dumped through a portal that had showed raw chaos behind it. He couldn't argue with the unilateral reaction of his party members, but he still didn't understand it. The light just felt right to him. Before anyone could say anything else, the Saproling began to change. There was a small crack, like splitting wood, as it seemed to fold in on itself. It had taken the form of a wolf made out of intertwined pale branches. It was covered in leaves that took the place of fur. As the party watched, it began to shrink. The leaves fell off, and it shrank from the size of a large wolf to the size of a golden retriever. The color of the wood began to darken. After a few seconds, the transformation completed. The creature looked sleeker and more solid than before. Richter realized that despite shrinking, it hadn't lost any mass. It had just become more dense and compact. A prompt filled his vision.
"Know this. Your spell Akaton Evolution has evolved your Saproling into a hardwood Saproling, one of three possible evolutions. Attack increased by +2, defense increased by +5, speed decreased by 10%, new attack unlocked, Thorn. Your summoned creature can fire hardened thorns at your enemies." Richter checked to ensure he still had control over the creature and was pleased to see that he did. Hisako spoke up.
"I trust you, Lord Richter. Your control over this magic is discomforting, but I accept that it is part of you."
The redhead visibly shook herself.
"I would ask that you limit your usage of it around me as much as possible, however."
"Fair enough," he replied.
"Then let's hunt," she told him.
The look in her eyes said she was ready for violence.
He couldn't have agreed more.
Chapter 47, Day 143, Kuborn 33, 0 AOC.
Alma continued to give an aerial view of what was happening. Richter sent his hardwood Saproling forward and had the chokespore arachnid hide on one of the columns again. Within seconds of the earth elemental leaving his line of sight, there was a piercing howl. One of the prowlers had caught sight of it. Despite the fact that the land operated by game mechanics, there were some very big differences. One of the biggest was that enemies were not dumb mobs that you could pull one at a time. When the animal sounded the alarm, every fucking monster in the place came a-running. Richter ordered the Saproling to lead the monsters back towards his group. He didn't specify exactly how, though. It wasn't clear who was more surprised, him or the prowler, when a 3-inch-long thorn with a wickedly barbed tip shot from the Saproling's mouth. The projectile stabbed into the crook of the prowler's front leg. The animal went down with a pained yelp. It started biting at the section of wood that was still outside of its body, but the spike was embedded deeply and the barbs kept it anchored in the flesh. Richter was pretty sure that if the thorn came out, a large chunk of flesh was coming out as well. Only a minute into the fight, and his evolved creature had already taken one of the monsters out of the battle. He loved chaos magic! The other monsters continued to surge forward.
His sapling retreated back towards the party, but it was soon overtaken. Even if the hardwood sapling hadn't had its speed reduced, it never could have outrun the prowlers. The dog monsters sank their teeth into the forest elemental, but its increased defense let it shrug off at least some of the attacks. Richter ordered it to focus most of its efforts on retreating. He needed the monsters to get closer. Some of the approaching creatures caught sight of Richter's group and charged them instead, but the low-level monsters were easily dealt with. Sion picked one off with a moderately imbued arrow strike. Bayon had switched the Decamer Knight's weapon to a heavy two-handed spear. It skewered an approaching tusker with its undead strength, then lifted the creature off the ground before bashing it into the cavern floor again. The knight looked at the boar with dispassionate eyes and saw that it still moved. The undead raised the body and slammed it back down several more times for good measure. Other stray monsters were dispatched by members of the group with equal efficiency. As powerful as the dungeon might one day become, Richter's party was ridiculously overpowered for this first room. The hardwood sapling continued its slog back towards the party. More monsters had piled on and its health was flashing red. It finally came into view, though, two prowlers with their teeth sunk into each of its forelegs. A herd of 10 tuskers milled around the creature, jostling each other in an attempt to bite the forest elemental. They were crowded so close together that their hardened bone ridges dug into each other. Several were bleeding. Alma continued to fly overhead, watching the whole thing but not intervening. More monsters were running up from the far side of the cavern. Richter watched them approach, willing the sapling to get just a little closer. It struggled to free itself and return to its master. It managed another 2 feet. It was enough. With a grim excitement, Richter thought, "Now!" The chokespore arachnid followed his command without hesitation. From its perch 20 feet up a nearby column, it plummeted unseen towards the knot of monsters that was almost 2 dozen strong. The jumping spider landed lightly on the backs of 2 tuskers. It had the delicate and unnatural grace of all spiders, the lightness of step that made spiders the stuff of nightmares for so many. The boar monsters didn't even notice until the spider released its special attack. Richter's arachnid hunched down just for a moment before hundreds of thousands of tiny spores shot from the holes in its abdomen. Because it was higher off the ground than the monsters, the effect wasn't immediate, but that served Richter's purposes as well. Nodding to Sion, the Chaos Seed started imbuing his shots while his friend did the same. Twin fires of blue and gold sprang into existence around their arrows. The Chaos Seed had already spent nearly 400 mana on his buffs and summoning spells, but that still left him enough to max out the secondary effects of his enhanced imbue arrow skill. With Alma at level 38, there was up to an 80% chance to inflict mind fog, a 50% chance to cause stun, and up to a 20% chance to cause psi crystallization. The level 6 psi bond he and Alma shared gave another plus 12% chance to all the effects. That wasn't even counting the 38% boost to damage he got because of Alma's personal level. At a cost of 200 mana, it wasn't something he could do again and again, and it took 7 seconds to fully power up. With an AoE of 6 feet, though, once his imbued shot was charged, it was almost fire and forget about it. While Richter imbued his shot, he also used Analyze on one of the prowlers. Name, Jennet Prowler. Disposition, angry. Jennet Prowlers are known for their cackling laugh. Though they are often heard before they attack, few prey escape. The Prowlers possess a body built for prodigious speed. Their bite is also magically enhanced, allowing them to do far more damage than they could otherwise. A Prowler's teeth are angled backwards slightly, almost assuring massive bleeding if its victim manages to break free. Special attack, clamping bite. Increases bite damage by plus 100%. The jaws can then clamp magically shut, ensuring they cannot be opened without massive trauma. Level 14. Health, 391. Mana, 34. Stamina, 290. Strength, 12. Agility, 36. Dexterity, 37. Constitution, 35. Endurance, 29. Intelligence, 3. Wisdom, 4. Charisma, 5. Luck, 10.
The creature definitely wasn't a pushover. The dungeon's plus 10% health bonus was also obvious. It meant it would take more to put it down. Richter wasn't worried. Hisako could probably solo this dungeon. Hell, Yoshi and Randolphus could probably do it as well. Richter was just happy neither of the creatures they had encountered so far seemed to have any innate stealth abilities. The added plus 10% to concealment that the dungeon gave its monsters and traps did jack if their base value was zero. It did remind him, though, that somewhere in the dungeon there was a giant snake that had been known as the Unseen Killer before it had gained scales made of pure high steel and been imbued with higher energy magic. That was a concern for later, though. The golden glow around Richter's arrow included black streaks after the first second that started speeding over the surface by the third. Pulling on his psychic connection with Alma made blue-white lightning dance around the aura. The black streaks stabilized to a constant level, and the imbuement took on the appearance of a barbershop pole. Gritting his teeth in a bloodthirsty smile, he shouted, "Now!" Both he and Sion released simultaneously. By the time they were ready, the spider's spores had taken effect. Every creature within the spider's AoE, except the sapling and the spider itself, had fallen to the ground hacking. The sprite's blue arrow was surrounded by yellow lightning, courtesy of his Metu Pixie, Sapir. The air pixie had transitioned to battle form, while his Metu sprite was imbuing his shot. Sapir's wings clacked furiously as he flew above Sion in an agitated circle. Celestial or not, the pixie child always seemed hungry for battle. The bolts of blue and gold-black struck the cluster of monsters with explosive force. The sapling's already mauled body succumbed, and the arachnid's soft body was literally blown apart, but they had served their purpose. Almost 30 monsters had inhaled the spider's spores and were down on the ground gasping before the imbued shots even struck. The two companions' attacks created fields of overlapping force that ravaged the tuskers and prowlers. Sprites were physically small, most 3 to 3.5 feet tall. They were excellent archers, but did not have the skill and range of elvish bowmen, though Richter would never say that out loud. What truly made them dangerous was their racial skill imbue arrow, which let them convert mana into explosive force. The fact that Richter was the only known non-sprite who had ever learned the skill had gone a great way towards earning their trust. The bonuses of the skill started modestly, with a plus 5% increase with each skill level to both magical damage and the speed with which they could convert mana, imbue arrow let them bring the pain. Bonding to their pixies had evolved the skill to enhanced imbue arrow and had, in effect, doubled the base damage. Sion's 32 skill levels in his now evolved skill meant that the 212 MPs he invested caused up to 110 points of damage to anything in his AoE. Combined with Richter's similar, although weaker, output, the monsters were turned into pieces of meat. 10 monsters that were in the center between the two companions' AoE died immediately. The rest lost hundreds of points of life as the force from Richter's attack tore flesh, broke bones, and burst organs. Their choking status rendered them helpless, greatly increasing the damage they suffered. A cascade of prompts washed over the Chaos Seed, giving him up-to-date combat information. Begin combat log. Koran Tusker suffers from mind fog. Jennet Prowler suffers from psi crystallization. Jennet Prowler is stunned. Koran Tusker hit by Richter with enhanced imbue arrow for varied damage. Total damage, 213. 6-foot AoE damage, no modifiers, 76. Richter has slain Koran Tusker. Richter has slain Koran Tusker. Richter has slain Jennet Prowler. End combat log. More and more prompts fed into Richter's subconscious mind, letting him digest the combat info and make the appropriate choices in the battle. Half the monsters were down in the opening salvo, and it had only cost them 2 arrows and 2 summoned creatures. Keening and hacking screams still came from the creatures that had survived the imbued attack, and several blue-white crystals hovered by their heads. Richter could feel Alma's immediate interest in the psi crystals, though hunger might be a better word. Later, he commanded. When he felt her resistance to the command, he added, "The sooner the battle is done, the sooner you can drain them." She sent him a disgruntled psychic pulse in response, but it was good enough for Richter.
Who wanted a woman without a low fire?
Then get in the fight! The monsters had reached his group. Yoshi's blades wove in a graceful dance, though the damage they wrought was anything but delicate. Large rents appeared in the skin and muscle of any monster dumb enough to enter the Sword Adept's range. White frost crystals formed at the edges of the wounds as extra ice damage was unleashed from his blade's enchantments. Tirad used both his sword and shield well. The captain's exposure at the birth of the quickening had increased his affinity and shields to 100%. Since then, he had advanced several levels and learned a few tricks. He triggered Bash, knocking a jumping prowler to the ground with a large crash. His counterattack opened the dog from chest to crotch. Red blood spilled over the ground. In 2 seconds, the dungeon drank most of the sanguineous fluid. Bayon ordered his knight to defend him above all else. The undead creature jabbed at tuskers and prowlers alike, keeping them at bay while the gnome finished a death spell. Purple-black light surrounded his hand. A second later, a laughing skull, wreathed in necrotic energy, shot from his hand and impacted against a tusker. The sow went down squealing, while death magic writhed over her face. In his other hand, the necromancer held his wand of dark bolts. Black bars of energy shot into the monsters as Bayon targeted beast after beast. Hisako focused on light magic during the battle. Beams of incandescent white luminescence shot from her fingertips. Some burned holes through monsters, while others made them snap at illusory creatures. Still others bound the beasts into glowing cages, inflicting burn damage each second they were imprisoned. Relaxed would be the best way to describe the master of earth, light, and life magic's mood. She had no wish to deprive the other party members of battle experience, though she could have cleansed the entire chamber with just one high-level spell. Randolphus phased in and out of stealth. The Chamberlain kept his enchanted throwing knives in their bandoliers, preferring to attack his targets from behind and from the shadows. The rogue would appear and stab down with a heavy blade. Each attack severed spines, punctured hearts, disemboweled abdomens, or created huge gaping holes that made his victims bleed out. The combination of backstab damage plus critical strikes, coupled with the use of professional rogue attacks, made the spy a deadly foe. Sion continued to fire arrows at approaching enemies. The columns meant he didn't have much time to identify, target, and release at monsters as they raced towards them, but Sprite's racial disposition channeled points into both dexterity and agility with each level they attained. He didn't take the time to imbue the arrows, especially with the shots fired at almost point-blank range at times, but his high-level and archery skills served him well. Drill shot, stun shot, and double shot drained his stamina quickly, but crippled several monsters and wounded many more. Richter shouldered his bow and drew his blades. In his left hand, he clasped his Elementum short sword of freezing. In the other, for the first time, he held a spiked mace. The high steel blunt weapon had just been completed and enchanted that morning. You have enchanted Sonic Spiked Mace of Shadows. Attack 14 to 22. Durability 57 of 57. Item class unusual. Quality superb. Weight 4.2 kilograms. Material, high steel. Traits, plus 10% damage versus spell barriers, plus 6 earth damage, plus 200% versus air creatures, plus 300% versus crystalline creatures. 6% chance to disarm, 3% chance to shatter. Ignore up to 4% defense. Charges, 325 of 325. It was a powerful weapon, though nothing compared to his Elementum blade and its 33 to 37 damage range. Still, Richter decided he'd been ignoring his education. It was time that he started learning to use other weapons. Now that he could dual-wield a normal-sized weapon without an extra penalty, he wanted to learn blunt weapons. The dungeon, surrounded by some of the most powerful people he'd ever met, seemed like a good place to start training. Richter stepped up to the outer ring of his party, joining the tanks. He bashed at an approaching tusker with his mace. The beast dodged to the side, but he still clipped one of the bony ridges on the boar's side. It didn't do much damage, but the Tusker was put off balance. It nosedived into the grass floor, listing to one side. Richter used his short sword to stab the prone creature in the neck. Once again, the green glass metal was coated in blood. It slid in easily, the Tusker's actual skin having almost no defense. Once, he had marveled at how easy it was for a weapon to enter a body. Now, sometimes it felt difficult not to kill. A spurt of arterial blood flew in the air when Richter removed his weapon. He moved on to his next target. Though there had been nearly 100 creatures in the cavern, in the space of minutes, they were all dead or dying. Richter called out to his party, telling them not to deliver any more killing strokes. Alma had already attached herself to one of the nearly dead creatures that had been psi-crystallized. A look at Sion was all it took to get the sprite to help her deliver the death blows. While Alma seemed to greatly enjoy the process of using her special attack, Brain Drain, she only needed to be attached at the time of death to absorb the creature's experience and solidify a psi crystal. While everyone else checked their weapons or continued to scan the gloom, Richter began a mental exercise that Alma had taught him. He visualized his mindscape, seeing his mental avatar standing atop of his mental fortifications. He regulated his breathing. 2 seconds later, he was ready. It was a strange phenomenon, but he greatly appreciated the time-slowing effect that occurred once he was within his mental construct. The passage of time didn't actually change, of course, just his perception of it. For Richter, that was enough. He and his familiar had had what felt like a 20-minute conversation with only 2 to 3 minutes having passed in the real world. With his mental defenses in place and his mind focused, Richter knelt beside a juvenile Corrin Tusker and began to cast blood mana. The incantation had come from the bloodstone and been unlocked when he had progressed to the initiate rank in his blood magic skill. Now he could use the spell to siphon blood from freshly killed creatures. Each 10 points of health that he stole, or whatever the blood equivalent was, would be converted into 1 point of mana. The dungeon was already beginning to absorb the blood spilled on the ground, but the blood in the bodies was slower to ooze out. Richter stepped into the center of the mass of creatures' bodies that had been devastated by the imbued arrows. As he cast the spell of deeper magic, ruby-red light began to surround his hand, and he felt the now familiar power rise within him. Though he didn't notice, the crystal in the center of the chamber began to shine a bit more brightly. A word of power issued from his lips, and his fist clenched of its own accord. Richter's arm bent in front of him, and his hand trembled, as if he were holding a rope that was being pulled away from him. Blood began to rise into the air from every dead creature within 5 feet. As it flowed towards him, it changed into light that was the same ruby color as the magic surrounding Richter's fist. The transfer rate was limited by his own skill level in blood magic. Every second, he could absorb 2 mana per level, per blood source. With 12 bodies within his magical reach, his mana was filling up at a rate of 24 MP per second. Blood flowed out of the bodies towards the swirling disk of blood-red energy in front of his hand. When it touched the magic, it was converted to pure mana. His lips twisted into a fierce grin. The power of it all. The blood of the enemies he had slain was literally converting into energy that was his to command. He started to marvel in his own glory, but then stopped himself. Raw emotion was the hallmark of blood magic, and he had led his people into danger before because he had become unbalanced by it. Focusing on his mental fort, Richter forced those impulses outside of his construct. The feeling of megalomania eased. He still felt a bit euphoric at the blood energy he was feeding on, but the impulse didn't come close to unbalancing him again. Less than a minute later, his entire mana pool of 654 points was refilled. The spell cut off, and blood that had been streaming towards him from more than 12 creatures fell with a splat onto the ground. Some splashed Sion's boot. The sprite favored his friend with an irritated look. Richter didn't care. He also didn't notice the uncomfortable glances from some of his other party members. He loved blood magic. Alma continued to drain anything that was left alive. With Sion stabbing the creatures as soon as she locked on, she was able to kill several per minute. Richter, for his part, walked towards the body of the largest prowler that had attacked. Now that it was dead, he couldn't use Analyze, so he couldn't see its stats. Then again, he thought, sometimes bigger is just better. He touched a patch of fur that wasn't matted in blood and focused on his symbiosis boon. A table appeared in his view, the dark red color of blood magic.
Through your symbiosis boon, you may absorb 10% of one of this level 16 Genet Prowler's primary stats at a cost of 50 points of your maximum mana. Which do you choose? Strength, base value 12, plus 1 added to you. Agility, base value 39, plus 4 added to you. Dexterity, base value 40, plus 4 added to you. Constitution, base value 16. Plus 1 to 2 added to you. Endurance, base value 3. Plus 0 added to you. Intelligence, base value 4. Plus 0 added to you. Charisma, base value 6. Plus 0 added to you. Luck, base value 12. Plus 1 added to you.
Richter had already decided. He chose agility. The end of his mana bar grayed out. Now 50 points less. He didn't care, though, because he was instantly much lighter on his feet. The 4 points he had picked up made him almost 13% faster than he'd been before. As far as Richter was concerned, the 50 mana was a small price to pay for the increased capabilities of his body. He started to get excited thinking about how stronger enemies would give an even greater boon. It was also awesome that his symbiosis boon let him know the stats of slain creatures. It had been a weakness of his analyze skill that had bugged him from time to time. He checked the other creatures, but only found 3 that would give him a plus 4 to one of his stats. In the end, at a cost of 200 mana, he increased his agility by 12 and his constitution by 4. His body flooded with power each time. He couldn't understand how he had ever had such heavy feet, and his higher constitution made him feel like he'd just injected Red Bull. Richter was almost bouncing in anticipation of trying out his new capabilities. There were also prompts awaiting. A cascade of experience notifications showed up in his vision. Most of the creatures Alma had drained were below level 10 and so only offered a modest amount of XP. He even saw that a few had been level 1 or 2, clearly the juveniles. Those prompts were just ridiculous.
You have been awarded 51 experience from Brain Drain against level 2 Corantusker Piglet.
Richter had gained more experience just from killing creatures in battle. Those 50 points would have been 5% of what he needed to level when he first got to the land. Now, it was a drop in the bucket. It just drove home that as wonderful as his familiar's Brain Drain was, he needed to fight stronger enemies if he was going to keep power leveling.
Despite the low levels of the monsters, he had still made progress against his experience debt. XP deficit remaining, minus 121,162.
Richter also gained a new skill.
Congratulations, you have learned the skill mace wielding. Though bladesmen look down upon the wielders of clubs and maces, they are fools. Heavy armor matters not if it is caved into someone's chest. True masters of this skill can slay foes clad in adamantium plate. Plus 3% damage to equipped maces or clubs. Ignore up to 0.5% of an enemy's armor per level.
Richter looked at his weapon with new appreciation. The ability to ignore armor could be amazing in certain situations. His short swords were powerful, but it was only the mighty materials they were made of that let him kill most enemies. The rock giant had shrugged off almost anything he'd thrown at it due to its ridiculously high natural armor. If he leveled up in mace wielding, though, heavily armored foes would be a lot easier to take down. The plus 3% bump to damage didn't hurt either. He resolved to learn other weapons as soon as he could. An even better surprise was that having companions once again proved to be a versatile benefit. The dungeon still recognized his party as having only 5 people. Richter found that out at the same time as everyone else. 10 opaque blood-red spheres had appeared over the bodies of fallen monsters. It was loot! Randolphus assured them that rewards wouldn't have been provided if the dungeon thought they were cheating. As each orb was touched, the globes disappeared and treasure fell to the ground. There was a smattering of coins that still didn't add up to much. You have found 4 silver coins and 28 copper coins. And once again, there were also a few low-level potions. You have found health potion, alchemy class, common, alchemy level, tincture, alchemy strength, clouded, durability, 5 of 5, weight, 0.1 kilograms, traits, will restore 19 health points over 119 seconds. You have found stamina potion, alchemy class, common, alchemy level, tincture, alchemy strength, weak, durability 5 of 5, weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits, will restore 31 stamina points over 151 seconds. The last potion was actually tainted strength, something Richter hadn't come across before. The health restored was extremely modest, and it came with a debuff. You have found health potion, alchemy class, common, alchemy level, brew, alchemy strength, tainted. Durability 5 of 5, weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits, will restore 8 health points over 143 seconds, will degrade your mana regeneration by 0.2 per second for the same duration. Looking at all 3 potions, Richter noticed the points restored seemed to be right at the baseline for each alchemy level. He supposed that was because the dungeon was new and there weren't any rooms to increase the potion strength yet. Maybe it was also because he was just in the first part of the structure. Richter shrugged. Time would tell. There were 2 other drops, a high steel dagger, but of a much lower quality than the one he had dropped in the well, and a soul stone. You have found high steel dagger, attack 4 to 6, durability 23 of 23, item class common, quality average, weight 1 kilogram. You have found common soul stone, durability 12 of 12, item class common, stone level common, status empty, weight 0.1 kilograms. None of the loot was game-changing. Still, Richter looked around at the dungeon, his dungeon, and smiled. His boy would grow. Randolphus took charge of the gear. He divvied it up according to the tax he had spoken to Richter about before. The sprites declined the coins, though Sion took the potions to hand out among the Maedon sprites. Bayon was given a share of the coin, minus Richter's 50% commission. Richter pocketed the empty soul stone. When that was done, Randolphus turned toward him.
I checked the entire cavern, my lord. There are no other creatures here. I heard noises coming from each of the 3 tunnels branching off from this room, however. I recommend going down the entry to the far left. I noticed a great number of cloven hoof prints coming from that tunnel. I believe we are most likely to find a lair in that direction.
One of the surprises he'd had in viewing Randolphus's skill list was that the man was an apprentice in tracking. The rogue's affinity was reduced to 52%, so he probably wouldn't progress beyond his current skill level at 26, but it still made him more advanced than Richter. When the Chaos Seed had asked him how he'd advanced the skill while living in a city, he had expected to hear about how Randy hadn't always lived in an urban environment. Instead, the man's gaze had just become hooded and he had replied, "The hunting of a man is the same no matter where it occurs." That particularly creepy comment had happened the night before when Richter had been about half a bottle of moonshine in. He'd decided against talking to Randy for the rest of the night. Besides, the spy's tracking skill was coming in handy now. Richter led the group towards the tunnel mouth Randolphus had indicated and saw for himself the large number of Tusker tracks. With a direction now decided upon, they journeyed down the tunnel. Behind them, the bodies of the creatures began to degrade as the dungeon reclaimed their energy.
Chapter 48, Day 143, Kuborn 33, 0. AOC.
Randolphus stealthed and scouted ahead. While he did, Richter dealt with his very eager and, in his opinion, very annoying familiar.
Master? Master?
She waited about 1.2 seconds for him to respond before saying again,
Master! The crystals! Can I have them now? Can I have the crystals? They are for me, aren't they? Aren't they?
After the battle, Richter had found Alma cooing on top of 6 Psi crystals like a dragon on her treasure hoard. Exactly like that, he had realized with a smile. She had shown absolutely no interest in gold or silver, but she was in love with the Psi crystals. When he picked them up, she had actually nipped at him. He literally had to growl at her to make her behave. Once he had them, she had leapt onto his shoulders and done her best impression of a mincing cat, picking her feet up and putting them down over and over. If he hadn't been wearing armor, it might have been very painful, as her claws weren't exactly dull. As it was, though, it was just very annoying. Shutting her out as best he could, Richter examined the glowing blue-white crystals.
You have found Psi Crystal, durability 10 of 10, item class scarce, level 8, weight 0.9 kilograms. Traits. This crystal is the captured psychic energy of a level 8 Koran Tusker. This energy can be utilized by mental creatures to boost their growth and stats. The energy may also be used by anyone with access to mental magic to greatly augment their spells. It can also be used by mental creatures to augment their capabilities for a short time. Any usage will consume the energy all at once. Further uses of this energy may be possible and will have to be discovered. 5 more almost identical prompts appeared, varying only by the name of the creature and its level. 2 of the crystals were from the juvenile Tuskers, which Richter guessed made sense. They probably had lower resistances to everything, which made the Psi crystallization debuff much more likely to take hold. In total, the gems provided 45 Psi points. As much as Alma loved them, she couldn't absorb the energy unless he willed it. Despite the fact that she continued her tirade about wanting him to respond, and even discounting the fact that she had now climbed on top of his helmet, he wasn't about to waste the points in a rushed decision. First, he examined her status page. Name, Alma. Level 38, 58%. Race, Psi Dragonling. Stats. Health, 130. Mana, 820. Regen per minute, 49.2. Stamina, 180. Regen per minute, 7.8. Attributes. Strength, 5. Agility, 33. Dexterity, 34. Constitution, 13. Endurance, 18. Intelligence, 82. Wisdom, 82. Charisma, 18. Luck, 18. Spell power bonuses. Air, 50%. Life, 50%. Resistances. Air, 50%. Mental, 100%. Life, 50%. Abilities. Unused points, 3. Psi Bond, level 6. Points to next level, 5. Psi Blast, level 3. Points to next level, 3. Brain Drain, level 7. Points to next level, 7. Psi Channeling, level 2. Points to next level, 2. She was halfway to the next level, which was great news. The problem was that while he could advance either Psi Blast or Psi Channeling, neither was the ability he wanted to advance most. Brain Drain had gotten an extra and unexpected perk when it had hit level 7. Now, she not only absorbed experience, she also absorbed the memories of her prey. It seemed to only happen with higher-level sapiens, but it had already proven invaluable. If Psi Bond also developed a new feature at level 7, he wanted it. There was something to be said for short-term games as well, though. He accessed her Psi Traits page. Natural Armor 3, Current Armor 5. Increase the natural armor of your dragonling by plus 1. Cost, 40. Natural Attack 1, Current Attack 5. Increases the melee attack of your dragonling by plus 1. Cost, 10. Flight Speed 2. Increase flight speed by 10%. Cost, 20. Convert to Ability Points. Allows the purchase of 1 ability point. Cost, 40. Chameleon, 1. Your dragonling's body will change color by 5% to match the surrounding environment. Cost, 20. Convert to characteristic points. Size, race, etc. adjustments still apply. Allows purchase of one characteristic point that will be added.